let's go ahead, let's get started. You say, let's get started. Like, my God, we didn't start it. Let's look at this blood. Okay. Sister Debbie, we in back there? Okay. All right. Let's pray. Father, not our will, but your perfect will is being done in our hearts, in our minds, in our bodies, in our consciousness. Father, we thank you that your perfect will is being done. For we have asked and we have received. And we will not, we cannot leave here same way we came. In Jesus' name. You believe that? Amen. Oh, yes. Father, right now we also pray for the kids in the Sunday school rooms. We pray for the teachers. We pray for the children. We speak this angelic protection over them. We speak the wisdom. We speak the same grace, the same anointing, the same protection that's in here. We speak it out there to them, Father. We just thank you right now. We thank you right now. Everyone say amen. All right. Going back to Matthew 27, this is where we started. And I'm just going to kind of try to flow in this a little more now, because we've been building on this, and so I'm just trying to take you from here and go through this a little further. All right, so I'm not going to spend as much time. We're just kind of go back over, but that's what a teacher does. You keep going back over, and then what do? You go back and you build, and you keep building. You go back and build. So Matthew 27:4, this is where Judas spoke up, and he said, verse 4, saying, "I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood." And they said, "What is that to us? See thou to that." And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. And you know, Judas is such a picture of the church. I mean, the modern church. This, you know, God, I'm going to show you this through the scripture. God has, when Jesus was on that cross and he said, "It is finished," he meant it. How many believe that? I mean, he meant it. Meant it. Okay? But why has the church got all the sickness? Why has the church got all this and all the stuff going on in it? What's going on in the church? You see? Why does he have all this? Because the church is hanging themselves. They're hanging themselves because they're not believing, you see. They're not believing they're not believing in the work that God has done. They're constantly trying to do another work instead of believe and receive the work that God has done. Does that make sense? So they're not accepting the work that God's done. They're trying to go and do it themselves. And anytime you go try to do it yourself when God's already done it, then you're going to hang yourself. Okay? That's exactly what's going on. Listen, in the Old Testament, God did attribute sin. Okay? He did impute sin. Okay? Now, at first he didn't. In Adam, he didn't. Okay? He gave Adam the law of love. But when Adam broke that law of love, and Adam started what? Accusing people. Then Adam ushered in. Does that make sense? Now, in this aspect, God did it because God had set Adam up as the head. Does that make sense? Because just like if I hand my brother here my keys to my truck, all right, and he goes out here and hits somebody up the road and kills them, did you know they can sue me too? Because even though he did it, I own the truck and I gave him the keys and permission to do it. See, so they can sue, they can come against him, and they can come against me. Okay? Because in that aspect, I did it with him. Because I handed him the keys. I gave him the power to be able to do that. Okay? The power was my truck, and I gave him the keys to that power. And with that power, he killed somebody with it. Does that make sense? Okay. So in that aspect, yes, God brought in a law in of good and evil through Adam. But that was never God's... That was not God's intentions. That was not what He was trying to do. He was trying to get Adam to operate under the law of love. That's what Paul said. He said, "Against love, with love, there is no law." Okay, you see. Now, since Adam ushered it in, then God ushered it in through Adam. So God had to eventually take responsibility for what Adam did because He gave Adam the keys. Okay, and so what He did was now that's when He was going to come in the flesh. All right, through His Son. All right, and take on the judgment. Take it all on. He's going to take it all on Himself, and take responsibility for it, and pay the price, y'all. Okay, so that's done. Now, since He's done that, He is really not. This is what I want to stress this tonight. He really is not imputing sin against anybody. For real. Now, you know, yeah. And this is hard for people, you know. Man, they don't get it. I mean, I'm serious. He is really not imputing sin against nobody. Okay? And I'm going to show you this in the Scripture. So you say, well, why are people going to hell? Why is people being judged for sin? Well, they're being judged because they're doing what Judas did right here. They're hanging themselves because they won't let it go. God let it go, but they're not letting it go. You see? Okay? So when you do that, you're hanging yourself. It's suicide. There's a suicide spirit on the church. That's what, have you noticed? I don't know. Do a little research on the internet. A lot of these big preachers, a lot of their family members, their kids or whatever, they're committing suicide. I don't know if y'all have noticed it here lately. They're committing suicide. It's a shadow. It's an allegory. It's a parable of what's going on in the church spiritually. Because anytime you see it, like I said, what's going on spiritually will eventually manifest naturally. See? Okay? It will always do that. It may take a while, but once that seed gets planted in spiritually, it will manifest naturally. It's just like, for instance, no man just goes and commits adultery against his wife without thinking about it first. You understand what I'm saying? He starts looking at somebody first, somebody else. Then he starts looking at somebody else first. Then he starts doing that, and then he starts having these those thoughts turn into imagination. So he carries it further. So he focuses. He looks for a little bit and has that thought. Then he starts doing what you call entertaining the thoughts, and then he entertains the thoughts enough that it starts forming these complete imaginations, or you could call them visions. So just like you can have a good vision, you can have a bad vision, you see. So then what happens, he starts thinking about it, and then he starts trying to figure out, if you don't stop this and cast it out, you see, then he starts trying to figure out how to make it happen, you see. And then he starts acting to get there. And then the very last thing, this is what you got to understand, the very last thing is the actual act. But it started a long time ago. Hence why Jesus said, if you look at a woman and lust at her, He said, you've committed adultery already. You see what I'm saying? Because He knew how this thing worked, see. But the law don't count that, does it? Even in natural court, They're gonna throw you in there for sleeping with somebody's wife in your head. They won't hold you what? You see. They won't hold you accountable, see. You actually have to do it in the natural to be held accountable. You can sit here and kill people in your head all day long. You know, saying they ain't going to hold you accountable until you go out and actually act on it. Then you're going to be sitting in jail. You see what I'm saying? Okay. But see, with God, this is what people don't understand. This is why religion don't work, period. Because with God, if you're sitting there killing your brother in your head, you've killed him. That's why, listen, you can't live by no law. It's impossible because the way that God judges the law. You understand what I'm saying? Let me show you. Let's go to James. This is how the church hangs himself. See, Judas, what did Judas, I told you, after he betrayed Jesus, right? Then Jesus what? Jesus stopped him and said, aha, got you. You're going to hell. You betrayed the innocent blood. Jesus didn't say anything about him betraying the innocent blood. He condemned his own self. He said, I betrayed the innocent blood. So who judged him? Jesus, now listen to Jesus. Jesus kisses him and calls him friend. But he says of himself, I am a murderer of the innocent blood. Jesus didn't say that. He said it. Y'all catching where I'm going with this? This is very powerful. You see, Jesus had, in other words, Jesus' testimony of Judas was completely different than his testimony of his own. All right, let's go to James. Chapter 1. He says, I think it's chapter 1, maybe chapter 2.
The royal law?
Well, it's 2, right?
About the royal law?
Yeah, I think it's 2. Okay, he says 2:8, he says, if you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He said, you do well. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as the transgressors. For whosoever keepeth the whole law, look at this, yet offend in one point is guilty of all. Y'all see that? Now see, you go to all these churches and they want to talk this stuff, see, but you can't have it the way you want it. Does that make sense? You can't say, in other words, they say, well, you know, look at this man, he's evil because, and they point out some things, right, that he's doing. Say he's committing adultery. Say he's doing this. Say he lies, does this. Okay. All right, and they say, this man is evil, okay? But we're not evil because what? Why aren't they evil? Because they don't lie? Because they don't commit adultery? But see, let me explain this to you. He says, if you break one jot, one time, he said, you're guilty of the whole. Woo! That's heavy, y'all. Does that make sense? Now, let me explain this to you. I've used this example many times. I heard the rabbi that used to come here, he said this one time. And it's true, though. He said, in Israel, when someone comes up in a store and you tell them something like, I'll be back, he said, even if the store closes at 7, the owner will keep the store open because he's expecting you to actually come back, because it a person's word means something. He said, you come over here in America, he said, well, I'll be back, he's like, you know, doesn't mean anything. You're telling, in other words, people just tell people, I'll be back. You know, knowing they ain't going to come back, but they know the salesman or whatever, the owner of the store, wants them to be back. He wants their business. But the person knows that the person wants their business. So instead of just telling them, no, I'm not coming back because I don't like your prices or I don't like your merchandise or whatever it is, you see, they lie and say, oh, okay, I'll come back. I'll be back. It's good. You know what I'm saying? See? Now, that's a lie. Okay? Going into the store and saying, I've been guilty. Everybody in here has, especially with high-pressured salesmen. They come up to you and say, you know, hey, can I help you? No, I'm just looking. No, you're not. You come in there to buy something. But you don't want them messing with you. In other words, you know what you want to buy. You're just trying to get it. You're trying to get out of there without buying anything else. You see what I'm saying? Because you know they're probably going to try to sell you that and something else and something else and something else. All right? But instead of telling the person that, what we'll do a lot of times is we'll say something like, I'm just looking, which is lie. But see, we don't count that as lie. See, this is what I'm trying to get you to see. When you want to play this game of the law, it's not the law according to how you think it is. See, just because you don't think that that's a lie, doesn't mean... Let me give you another example. I've done this before. I bet you everybody in here has done this before. I used to work construction. I used to also work at the prison. I used to work at different places like that. All right. And what happens is, when you know what time, you're supposed to get paid from 6 to 6, like 12 hours or whatever. And you come in there and you're looking at 6:50 and, you know, I mean 5:50. And the boss, you know, he's done did something and it's like, oh, okay. And you're out the gate at 5:55. All right? Well, you just stole money from them people. Oh, you know, amen. You just stole money because they're paying you for that 5 minutes. But you just walked out. That's stealing. But the, you know, these religious Christian people that do that, and they want to hold everybody else accountable to these laws and this and that. And they look at us, Obama's stealing all this money from us. But then they're stealing from their employer. That everybody been at work and, oh, I bet you just started. And what happened? Sometimes, like, you know, you get a lunch break, right? It's supposed to be what, you know, a lunch probably is 30 minutes. A break is 15. That's the way it used to be when I did it, alright? Alright, so, you're at lunch and sometimes you sit around there at the boss and, oh, I'm gonna catch another 5 minutes. I'm gonna catch another 5 minutes up in this air condition. Because we would have these little portable buildings a lot of times on the job out there at the plant, you know, and you would go in those little, they call them the, you know, the shack sometimes, lunch shack or whatever, and you go in there, you know, and eat your lunch, and they got one of these little window units in them or whatever, you know, and man, you lie, buddy, it gets hot around here. And then in the plants, it gets real hot. You have to wear Nomex and all kinds of stuff, man. It's just rough, so... You come in there and you know it's like, and then you go, oh, this feels good. Some of the guys in here know what I'm talking about. Some of the women don't have a clue what I'm talking about. It feels good, man. And so then you like take your Nomex and like your coveralls, you're pulling out, you're up in the thing, like, whoo, you know, up in the window unit. You know what I'm talking about? I've been there, see? So, what happens though, you know, gets around that time, boss sitting really, he's off like somewhere on the other side of the plant or something. And you're like, I'm catching another 5 minutes in this air condition before I go out there. You see? What's that doing? Stealing money. Stealing money. Hallelujah. Praise God. But see, it's okay. In these Christians' eyes, or supposed Christians' eyes, for them to do that, but then Obama steals this or whatever. Oh, we gotta make him, he's gotta pay. Well, then you know what they're gonna say? Well, I didn't steal millions or billions. See, it don't matter. What does it say? If you steal 1 cent or 1 trillion, it doesn't matter. Woo! See, when you want to play this law game, it's a game you don't want to play. I know. Yeah, actually, yeah. If you even think about it, sitting there thinking about how to get over on somebody, you know, right? Y'all catch what I'm saying? It's amazing how you know Oh my gosh, help them. I mean, it's tough. You want to play that game, see, then you know what happens? You have just cut yourself off. You have just hung yourself because you're not wanting to receive. You're not wanting to receive the work that God has done. Because you're saying that His work isn't good enough. That you got to do something. You understand what I'm saying? It says if you're guilty of one thing, says you're guilty of the whole thing. You say, man, you don't want to play that game. So you say, well, how do you win? Very simple. There's only one way to win. Because you can't win by keeping any kind of law, can you? Because you're going to break it at some what? It's inevitable. Listen to me. I'm going to tell you something. It's impossible to keep it. And I'm gonna say, people say, no, it didn't. Jesus kept it. No, He didn't. He didn't keep it. He did not keep that law. He did not keep the law. Paul said Moses' law was carnal. Anybody read that? Jesus did not keep a carnal law. He kept a spiritual law that was above the carnal law.
Amen.
And what's the spiritual law? You see? Now, He only had to actually keep one law, actually, which was this. God gave Him one commandment, which was that commandment was His law. And He said the commandment that He received of His Father, He didn't say He received 613 commandments from His Father. And that's why He always, do a study on this. He always called it Moses' law. He never said it was God's law. He never said it was His law. He always called it Moses' law. He said the law of Moses. Very interesting. Never said it was God's law. He said it was the law of Moses. Alright? Now, here's the thing. He said one commandment I've received of my Father. And he says to lay my life down and to pick it back up. That's the commandment. That's the law that he had to keep. Praise God. That God was asking him to lay his life down for who? For the sinners. For the ones that were trying to keep the Moseses, but were making a mess of everything. Going around pointing the finger at everybody and acting like they were above these people that they were pointing their finger at, but yet they were no different than the people they were pointing their finger at because they were all breaking the law. Every one of them. You see? Because God made it to where you can't keep it. Now I'm going to show you this in the Scripture. Alright? Go to Romans 5. Let me show you. You can't keep it. It's impossible. Nobody can. Not in the flesh. All right, look at verse 17. It says, "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one," y'all see that? "Much more they which receive." Look at this. Oh wait, there's something about what? Receiving, receive. Y'all see that? Receiving. You got to receive. See, when you don't receive, then you try to do it yourself. See. You see what I'm saying? He says, those that receive the abundance. See, he don't even say grace. He says abundance of what? Grace. Look at this. And the gift of righteousness. Wait a minute. Righteousness is not an act. It's a gift. Y'all see it? It's not an act. There's nothing you can act out to make yourself righteous. It's either this. You either receive it or you don't. You see? You either receive it or you don't. It's a gift. You see? And if you've done something, now let me explain this to you, right? If you do something for it, it's not a gift no more. If I have something for HO here, and I say, HO, I got something for you. I want, you know, and I say, but before I give it to you, you got to mow my lawn. It no longer is not a gift. Now, I still may give it to him. He says, okay, and he mows my lawn. But then I give it to him, then what he paid for it by mowing my lawn is not a gift. Now, if I say, H.O., I got something for you, and then he comes and I go to give it to him, and he even reaches in his wallet to hand me some money. He says, oh, wow, thanks, here. No, keep it. No. Here you, it's a gift. It's yours. You see what I'm saying? If there's any exchange of work or money, it's no longer a gift. Redeemed means to pay a
price, a ransom.
A ransom. If you're trying to pay for something, if you're trying to do something to pay, see, Paul made it. I'm gonna say Paul made the same mistake. It's crazy. Paul, the great, great apostle that wrote half the New Testament, the mistake he makes at the end of his life in the natural was trying to pay for what he had done with Stephen. Because Jesus appears to him in the temple and he tells Jesus says, get out of here. I'm going to send you. I'm going to send you way away from here to do a great work. And Paul says, no, I'm not going because I'm going to preach to these Jews. And he says, no, they're not going to hear it. They're not going to hear it. Get out of here now. And he said, no, I'm going to do it. And then he says, no, I'm going to do it because don't you understand? I was the one holding the coat. I gave the order. I got to teach them. They got to hear what I have to say. So what he's saying is I have to make up for it. Jesus is not interested. You understand what I'm saying? He's like, he is not interested in him doing that. He's interested in him going to where he's trying to send him to. He's not interested in him paying for anything that he's done. Wow. And Paul lost, listen now, he didn't listen to Jesus, and he tried to pay for what he had done, and he gets arrested and gets his head cut off. What does that mean? You see? His natural head got cut off, but what God was trying to get across to him is even though you wrote, man, this is powerful. Even though you wrote, it's like I used you to write half the New Testament, you're still trying to work for your salvation. My God, somebody. Now think about this. I want you to think now. I've been thinking about this lately because I was thinking about myself. I'm thinking, okay, yeah, God's used me to do this, this, and this. I bet, see, there's still parts of me that's trying to work for my, we gotta really look at this from a open perspective. Because if this man, Paul, got that far with God, and he still had it in him to try to make up or pay a price for something he had done, I bet we probably got some stuff in us that we're trying to pay a price for. That's keeping us back from going and being sent where God wants to send us. And then the people over there, look at what happened to those people because Paul never showed up. He never showed up. And the people that he's trying to talk to, he said, you ain't going to listen because you're trying to pay a price for him and it ain't going to work. And the people he wanted to help, it would have worked. Those people he sent, it would have worked. It would have worked. But they suffered because Paul was trying to pay a price that he couldn't pay. You see? Because he wasn't fully receiving the payment of the innocent blood. And so he went And he pulled a Judas too in a way. He went and hung himself. You say, yes, I know Paul was on a way different level than Judas. I understand all that. But there's different levels of hanging yourself. How many understand that? See, I have Paul works with me constantly. And what he's doing is, he's trying to help me not make the same mistake that he made, you see. And I know we still try to... It's so ingrained in the flesh to work, to earn something, you see. It is not in the flesh to just say, oh, I receive it. Because even the people that, you know, that get like, even like, you know, big thing in welfare and all that, but you know what they do? Because if they get a bunch of that, they say, well, my family worked for it or something. They have some sort of thought process why they deserve that money. Does that make sense? If you don't believe me, go talk to some of them. Yeah, I have. So they think they've earned that money. They think they're entitled to it. Well, being entitled to it is think that you've earned it. You've worked for it in some capacity. You see what I'm saying? You see? It's not in the realm of the flesh just to let someone else work and then they give you, they win the prize and give it to you and you just say, oh, okay. And be satisfied with that. That's not in the flesh. Is it? Flesh says, oh, no. Well, next year I'm going to win it and give it to them. Isn't that the way it is? Exactly. Yeah. It's like, it's too good to be true. Something up here, you see. Did y'all know that God, by the way, did y'all know that that word gospel was a term coined only at the time of Jesus? That word never really existed. And you know what it really kind of means? Is that exactly? It means too good to be true news. Yeah, that's exactly what it really, that's about what it really, really, really means. It's too, you know, I know people translate and say gospel means good news, but really more detailed, it means too good to be true news. Yeah. Because everybody, see, and all think about it, all these religions, whether they be Catholic, whether they be Muslim, whether they be Baptist, whether they be Pentecostal, whether they be whatever. Now, you say, you're colluding all those in religion? Oh, yes, I am. Whether they be, they all have something in common. They're all trying to pay God back. Is that true? They're trying to earn something. And when you're trying to earn something, you're trying to pay somebody back. And each one of them have different, yes, I mean, it may be different, you know, methods to it or whatever, but I promise you, you can trace it and you'll find it. You'll find it. Alright? You got Judaism? What was Judaism? Now I'm fixing to rock some people too, you know. Well, I got some friends with this stuff, man. They don't want to let it go neither. That stuff, man, they don't want to let it go. You know. Look at Galatians. Galatians chapter 1. Well, let me finish reading here. I didn't even get that far. My God, I just got excited about the gift. Look at, he said you didn't read the rest of it. I got excited. Look at verse 18. It says, therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Look at this. Even so, by the righteousness, wait a minute, of one. Not you. Not me.
Right. Yeah.
Him. That's it. The righteousness of what?
One.
That's why when it was Christians, it's so, it, you know, the ignorance, it just, it gets on me sometimes. And it's like, I drive by his church sometimes in Houston, and on the outside of it, it says, "No perfect people allowed here." And I'm like, they think they're cute. Yeah. You see, but they're just displaying their ignorance to all the principalities and powers across their church. Because perfect means holy, it means mature, it means complete, it means saint. So let's read it like that. No saints allowed here. You see? So why would somebody... Now, what's the only reason they would put a sign like that out there? Is because they're trying to earn perfection. And they know deep in their heart they can't, so they just justify it by saying no perfect people allowed here. Woo! I'll look you dead in the eye and I'll tell you I'm perfect. Amen. Why am I perfect? I'll look you dead in the eye and say I'm righteous. Why? Because I'm perfect by one, I'm righteous by one, I'm holy by one, and I'm not backing down off of it. Amen. That's what it says. Right. Hallelujah. Oh yeah.
No, I'm not perfect. God didn't make
it. No, he's perfect.
Yeah.
All right, let's read. It gets better. Check it out. It gets better. So is it even so by the righteousness of one? Look at it. Wait. The free gift came upon all men. All men. Under justification of life. But why are the people going to hell? Why are they dying? Why is the sickness? Why is all this going on? What is going on? They haven't received the free gift. They don't believe it. They're trying to earn it. They're trying to work for it. They're trying to, and it don't matter. Listen, I'm not picking on anybody. I'm speaking on one thing. I used to be there. I used to be in a part of all of that. I used to do that. And I'm sure right now there's still some parts of me trying to earn something, just like I said. But I know that I'm going to get through it. Because I continue to choose to believe this and confess it, and I keep confessing it, and it says confession is made unto
salvation.
Every time somebody says, "You're not perfect," yes, I am. And I'm not being smart, like I really believe that. I mean it. And I'm going to say it. I'm saying it in what? Faith. Faith in what? Me? No. I'm saying it in faith of one. The one right here. He's talking about. The one. Hallelujah. So every time, now think about this. Every time I say that, I'm giving glory to His name. Every time I say something contrary, I'm taking His name in vain. What does that mean? Taking His name in vain. Making it to no effect. Saying it's not worth anything. Saying it didn't pay the price. You see? That's what it is. See? That's why he said, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father which is in heaven. There you go. See? But every time you say I'm perfect, you're not denying him before men. You're edifying him before men. You see? Now, yes, there's the guy that could come along and say he was perfect of himself. Yes, there's that guy. But that guy can't even believe that anyway. So he's just putting on some sort of a show. You know, no one can stand up and say of their own works that they are perfect. Okay. But you can stand up and say, I've let go of my name and I've took His name, which is a free gift. He's offered His name as a free gift. And His name is His blood. Just like in the natural, when you get your daddy's name, His name comes because you have His blood. Amen. That's why it comes. If you don't have His blood, you don't get the name. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. So when He offered us His name, it's because He offered us His blood. And remember going back, what we learned the blood was. It's His Word. It's His life. That's right, see. It's His light. which is His understanding, which comes through His Word, which brings us to His what? Life. Hallelujah. You see, that's what it does, see? Okay? But see, I'm going to tell you something. Until you start confessing this, you got a veil. You see what I'm saying? When you go around confessing, I'm a sinner, like these people do. You know, I'm a sinner, I'm a sinner, I'm this. There's a veil. You see? And they can't, and what does it do? It veils you off from His Word. It veils you off from His what? Name. It veils you off from His blood. It veils you off from His light. It veils you off from His understanding.
He had texted her and he was like, he was talking about saying, I forget his exact words, but talking about him being a sinner and being hard to accept the fact of the healing and all that stuff.
Yeah, it's ingrained. It's ingrained. It is absolutely ingrained. There's no doubt about it. It's ingrained. Hey, Mom.
What?
Where are you going? You bring your purse to the bathroom? All right. Don't go nowhere. I'm look out for people. I told y'all I'm going to see you trying to slip out. I'm going to call you.
They'll give you a pass. All permit.
It says, verse 19. It says, "For as by one man's disobedience." See, look at this. See, you don't even understand that you were born in this world a sinner, not even because of your disobedience.
Right.
By one man's disobedience. I mean, I don't know. This says it pretty plain, right? All right. It says, "By one man's disobedience, many were made what? Sinners." So look at, so he's saying, okay, many were made sinners by this one man's disobedience. So by the obedience, wait a minute,
of one,
not even your obedience. You can't even be made righteous by your obedience. It's impossible. Hallelujah. Because it's not the way God offered it.
That's right. Amen.
Hallelujah. It's a gift. Alright. Now check it out. It says, now I'm going to tell you how He offered it to Jesus. Now, a while ago, let me elaborate on a point. Jesus was not righteous because He kept the law. God offered His obedience to Jesus if Jesus would receive it. By what? There you go. That's how Jesus was righteous. He did it the same
way.
Now, to prove it, He did it the same way. He said, follow. You can't, if He did it a different way, He couldn't ask, if it was a different way than what God's asking you to do, then He couldn't say follow. Couldn't say follow me. Because you can't follow somebody if it's going to be a different way. That's why He said, I am the way. Wait, what did He say? I am the what? The way. I am the what? The truth. So I am the life. So what is He saying? He's saying this way is the way that is what? Truth, which will lead you to God's what? Life, which is His what? Blood. Life is in the blood. He said. Hallelujah. Bathing. Hallelujah. God told me, He said, back off, because I go out there. And He said, back off and start teaching some of Paul so that the people can get understanding where you're coming from. Because I'm just bold. I've been on this for long, many years, and I just take this and I go, shoo, out of it. You see, but unless you have this, you're not going nowhere. So I can try to take you out there all I want to, but until you get this, you can't come. Does that make sense? You have to get this. Because out there is no condemnation. Uh-huh. And if you don't get this, you're going to have condemnation. And listen, condemnation grounds you. You see? It holds you. It binds you to the earth. It blinds you. It keeps you grounded. You see? It keeps you grounded. I'll never forget it. I had a visitation by an angel one time. And that angel kept telling me, I was in bed and he kept telling me, he said, come up hither. And I was trying to come. It was like my body. It wouldn't let me go. And I'm trying to tell him my body. And he's not paying any attention to what I'm saying. I'm just like, my body. And he's just like ignoring that. And he keeps saying, come up hither. And then I get mad at it because he won't acknowledge my problem. Ooh. How many times we get mad at God because he won't acknowledge our problems? Because these problems really aren't problems because he's already solved them. See, something is not a problem if it's been solved. Amen? So I got mad at the angel and I start coming out of the vision and then I'm not seeing what's going on because my anger brings me out. You understand what I'm saying? And then I'm like, okay, I messed up. So I ask for forgiveness and then I start praying in tongues, and I get pulled back into the vision, and then the angel gave me some words, all right? But then, later on, years later, I realized what the deal was. There was a thing in my life that I hadn't let go, see? And that thing was causing me not to be able to come up hither. It was grounding me. Once I let it go, I took off. You ever have one of them helium balloons? Okay? And you take that balloon, if you tie it even to like, you have to be, you know, this is heavy enough. Even if the balloon was pretty big, you tie it to this purse, it's gonna ground the balloon. You understand what I'm saying? So, but if you take and get the balloon to let it go, then the balloon what? It takes off, so. And sometimes they can be found way over in, you know, other cities and all kinds of stuff, right? They write little notes on them sometimes, whatever. All right? Okay. So, that's what I'm saying. Forgiveness is letting go. And the first person you're going to have to forgive is yourself. That's what's keeping the Christians grounded. That's where they're hanging their self. See, Jesus called Judas friend, but Judas called his own self a murderer of the innocent blood. A betrayer of the innocent blood. So, his unforgiveness toward himself hung himself, kept him grounded. He could not go for a while where Jesus was going because he didn't see himself as Jesus saw him. That's powerful. See, when Jesus can sit there as a person, Judas, and call him friend, he's seeing from a different level. Hallelujah. He's not seeing from an earthbound level. Hallelujah. You see? Hallelujah. See, I like the way John wrote it. John wrote it like this. I love him because he first loved me. You see? That's it. Because he forgives us, that enables you to forgive yourself. Praise God. Because, listen, this is powerful. Because he became the law. You see what I'm saying? He became the law. It said God took that other law with all of its ordinances. That's what Paul said. Took that other law with 613 ordinances, and he took it and he nailed it. He nailed it to the cross. He said that these things were written against us. Took it and nailed it to the cross. To be put away forever. You see? But what did the church do? They picked it back up. You see, just like those Jews at the time of Jesus' day, when the veil was rent in the temple, the veil that separated men from the Holy of Holies, that veil was rent in two, and then they turn around and put it back up. But you know what God did? God went and had their enemies tear it
down.
So why is Satan still at work? Y'all catching it? Why does God still let him run around? You see? Because if you mess with these fallen angels, they'll tell you one thing. Not demons. Fallen angels. Alright? They'll tell you that their time is not yet. That's what they'll tell you. They say, my time is not yet. Now that's not people that lived here before. Demons are people who lived here before, who are trapped under these principalities and powers, right? And work for those principalities and powers, those fallen angels. I call them fallen angels. They also might be called the fallen sons of God. God's letting them run around because the church has put the wall back up. So he lets them run around to tear it down until the church, y'all catching this? Until the church, there's a number that God's looking for. There's so much of the church that can pick this revelation up, and when they enough of them, I don't know what it is, it's a number that God's looking for that will cause the fullness of the spiritual temple to be built. Do you understand what I'm saying? Not no natural temple over there. A spiritual temple. When that number comes in, and hallelujah, and that temple is built in the spirit realm, then judgment will come on those fallen angels. Their time will be up. And who's going to judge them? The temple. Which is what? Wait, the saints, which are the what? The holy ones, which are what? The ones who obtain what? Perfection. And how'd they obtain it? By freely receiving it, by faith. You see? Hallelujah. And that's why they'll judge. That's why he trusting legalistic people to judge these fallen sons of God. Because they won't judge them. They won't judge them righteously. They'll pull it out. Hallelujah. Now look, he says, so for, verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Verse 20, look at this. Moreover, the law entered. Look at this. This is crazy, right? That the offense or sin might abound. He said that God allowed the law to enter that sin would increase. Is it right? That's what it says. Go tell that to the theologians. All right, it's right there, right? The experts, right, of the Bible. Yeah, it gets better. It says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. Look at this. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Look, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life. By who? Jesus Christ, our Lord. All right. And then he gets in this question. This is where I love Paul and his sarcasm. He gets into the next question, the next chapter, where they say, because he's saying this, he's saying, are you saying that we should sin so grace may abound? He said, God forbid. You don't understand what I'm talking about. He says, how can you be... Look at chapter 6, verse 1. He said, what shall we say then? Shall we sin, continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer than? So he's being kind of sarcastic. Yeah. He's like, look, how in the world, if you're dead to something, how can you live longer in it? He says, you don't understand what I'm saying. He said, now let me explain how this works. So you're not confused. Come up here, Anthony. All right. Let's say Anthony represents us. So it's our life and our work, which is our blood, which is our under, our word, all these kind of things, right? It's all wrapped up here, okay? Now, all God is asking is, He's saying, for you to reckon this guy, which is your name, your word, your way of thinking, your you know, all that, reckon him to be what? Dead. When you do that, this guy's dead. Then God is allowed to interject this guy in here. You understand what I'm saying? So now, this guy lives through this guy. And it's an exchange of lives. The more that you let go of this guy, the more that this guy manifests and lives through. Does that make sense? Okay? So that's what he's saying. The more you... This guy don't sin at all. This guy... Matter of fact, I'm going to read it to you here in a second. This guy was born of God. This guy, not only does he not sin, it says he can't sin. So that's why he's saying, people that, you know, with ignorance would say, so you're saying that you need to sin it up so that grace may abound. He's like, you don't even, you have no clue what I'm talking about. Because he's saying, if you accept grace, grace is this guy.
Yeah.
And this guy is a new you, which is a new creation. And this guy is a guy that has specially been picked out for you, okay? And he's all you have to do is, but the key is, see, the key is you gotta let go of this guy before you can receive this guy. You understand? And this is why Paul said, I was crucified. This guy he's talking about. He's saying, this guy was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, the new guy. He says, nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but he's being kind of carnal when he says that. Because he's saying, yet not I, but Christ lives in through me, you know. But really, it is Christ, but that Christ is the new you. It really is you. Does that make sense? Paul's just watering it down to try to help carnal people understand it. You understand what I'm saying? Okay? So look, the new guy, go to John chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3. All right, 1 John chapter 3. Okay, look at verse 4. He says, whosoever sin transgresseth also what? The law. Y'all see that? So whoever sins transgresses against the what? The law. Alright, he said, look, for sin is the transgression of the what?
Law.
The law. Verse 5. He says, and ye know that he was manifest, look at this, to take away our sins. Who was manifest? That other guy. That guy that was specially made for, that new guy that was specially made for you. Who God now says is the real you. Okay? That guy was manifest to take away your what? Sins. What's your sins? The old guy. The old, listen, everybody's talking about the man of sin coming up on the scene. The man of sin is that old guy. That's the man of sin. He's the old guy. He's been around for a while. He's been coming on the scene for a while. The man of sin. Alright? Now look. He says, and no, that he was manifest to take away our sins. And look at, in him, that's the new guy. In him is what?
No sin.
No sin. Look, verse 6. Whosoever abideth in him, look at this, sinneth not. So what does that mean? Whosoever letteth go his old name, his old work, you see what I'm saying? And receive the work of the one that obeyed, that was right, you understand what I'm saying? Then, you receive His work, His righteousness. You see what I'm saying? And it says, whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not, look at this, seen Him, neither known Him. So what is it saying? Whosoever sinneth has not yet let go of the old And he's not letting his new self come. You see what I mean? Okay. Now, verse 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Now what he's saying is, he's saying that, look, you can tell if someone's let go of that old guy and letting the new guy in, because the new guy is not righteous because he's doing righteous, but you can spot him because he's doing righteousness. Does that make sense? What he's doing doesn't make him righteous, but you can identify him by what he's doing. Does that make sense? That's huge now. I want you to catch that, because I don't want you to confuse that. Because it's different to say that this person is righteous because he's doing righteousness. You see? In other words, that's the reason that he's righteous. And that's what we just learned in chapter 5 of Romans. That's not the case. No one is righteous because they do righteousness. In other words, that's not the reason that they're called righteous. Because they only can be righteous because they have accepted the righteousness of what? One. Now, if they've accepted the righteousness of that one, who obeyed, now they've received that, now it's living. Now the righteousness will show up. And you can identify those who have let go because you can see them do righteousness, so you know that they've truly took on the new man. Does that make sense? That's why you don't see it in most of those denominations and all that stuff, because you don't see it. And so their excuse is they're waiting for Jesus to come back so that he can make them perfect and righteous and holy, blah, 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 and they're denying his work. You see? And they make excuses, and their excuses are they can't be righteous, they can't do righteousness, they can't be perfect, they can't be holy, because he hasn't come back to save us. So we gotta wait for him to come and save us. And this is why we're in the mess we're in. That's why they say that, okay? But the mess that we're in is because they deny his work. They won't freely receive his work. They keep holding on to that old guy, and they keep trying to work through him. And it's impossible. You can't do it. That guy cannot obey. Does that make sense? Listen, it's not that he won't obey. He can't. He can't. It's impossible. Now, I'll show you. Look. Now, I wish he would have done a better job here, really, of explaining this. You hear me, John? You know, I do. I really do. I wish he would have done a better job of explaining this, because people get confused here. But maybe God wanted him to write it that way so that it would come out in a different time or something. I don't know. Who am I? Anyway, but I'm gonna try to help you understand what he's really saying. Look, okay? Now he says, verse 8, he that committeth sins of the devil. That's the guy that can't obey. That's the old guy, the guy that was born of your father and your mother. That guy. That guy is, actually, listen, I'm going to be really blunt with you. That guy is the devil. Okay. He is the devil. Now, remember,
it's an identity thing.
Yes, sure. That guy is the devil, because devil just means the accuser of the brethren. And who's the accused? First, himself. Anybody that accuses is a devil. You see? That guy can't do nothing but accuse. That's all he can do. And the first person he accuses is him, just like Judas. I betrayed the innocent blood. That's why Jesus said, I chose you 12 and one of you is a devil. Amen. Isn't that powerful? Jesus knew that he was accusing himself the whole time. See, anybody, listen to me. Oh my gosh. When you accuse yourself, whatever you're accusing yourself about, you can't stop doing. Does that make sense? You'll do it. You'll keep on doing it. You may stop for a while. You're going to go back to it. The only way you can be free is to stop accusing yourself. You see, this is powerful, y'all. It's powerful stuff, man. Man, it's powerful. All right, look at it. He says, okay, he that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil, look at this, the devil sinneth from the beginning. Oh, now I'm going to, well, I could go real, well, who, yeah, I'm going to leave that alone. All right. I'm going to leave that alone for now. All right. He says, okay, for this purpose, the Son of God, who is the Son of God? That other you. Remember, he took himself. He said, this is my body. Remember the bread. And he took it and broke it into what? Pieces. So he's saying, this is my body. So that remembers that the Son of God was broken into many. So that's why I tell you over and over, the Son of God is just not one person. God took him and broke him into many pieces. And God is sitting there offering you one piece as a free gift. And in that piece he's offering you is perfection, is complete total obedience, is holiness, is righteousness, is healing, is everything. It's peace. It's the New Jerusalem. It's the church. Does that make sense? But and all he's asking you to do is to let go of that other guy and take it. That's what he's doing. That's how come I can be so bold. That's how come I not fear anymore. You see, because I don't fear anymore because I don't base it. I don't have to base it on anything I've done. When you don't have to base it on anything you've done, then you can be free of fear. And nobody can hold you accountable. You understand that? Man, it's powerful. And when you believe it yourself, then you'll hear the demons say, just like you heard them with me, when I said, well, who am I in your kingdom? You're holy, holy, holy. Not just one holy. Holy, 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 holy. Why do they say I'm holy? Because I have let go of that other guy and I have took hold of my peace. Of the Son of God. And how many believe the Son of God is holy?
Amen.
He's holy. Hallelujah. Praise God. Man. You see? See, the devil, I don't even hear his... Listen, I don't hear that voice no more. Because I'm telling you, now it's a process. And that's why I don't like the way John wrote this here, because he don't really stress the process. He's just kind of black and white right here. This guy's of the devil and this guy's of God. And it's like, you don't see no kind of transition here with John, but there's a transition. Because there are times when you can get into sin, and when you got into sin, that means you're operating through that old... And then there's those other times where you're not sinning, because you're letting the new man, which is the Son of God, work through you. But then sometimes you fall back into that, and it goes back and forth, and it goes back and forth for a long time.